It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.
It's the place to be before the election, the Colorado Right to Life Banquet. Hi, I'm Greg Jackson, and personhood should be back on the ballot, and the nation's hottest, newest radio host, Steve Dace, is coming from the heartland of America to Denver, the heart of personhood country. Dace will encourage us to fight on to victory. So come out Friday night, September 14th. Register online at coloradorighttolife.org or call 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394 or go to coloradorighttolife.org. Register today. Don't hesitate.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Glad to be here, Bob.
Doug, I got a website up here, conservative Christian news and commentary, caffeinatedthoughts.com.
Oh.
They say RomneyCare will be worse than Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard of this guy, but it's an interesting article.
I've got a website up here.
You do?
Yeah.
What?
Steve Dace Morning Briefing.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
I listen to him.
Oh, yeah, I listen to him quite a bit, mm-hmm. And I like to read his morning briefing because it makes it so I don't have to think for the rest of the day. It's really handy because me and Steve think a lot alike.
And, in fact, we're honored that the speaker for the Colorado Right to Life Banquet coming up on Friday.
That's right.
Friday night. I'm going. Are you going?
This Friday, Lord September 14th.
I'm going to be there. You going, Doug?
I'm going to be there if I can. I have a work engagement that I'm trying to get fired so
all right.
that I can
so
be there.
So please, those of you in the audience, come on out and join us. We're going to have a good time. And what an honor to have the banquet speaker now on the line, Steve Dace. Welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Steve. Welcome back to Bob Enyart Live. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you guys.
All right. So, Steve, we wanted to, first of all, start out with the NFL.
Before we go there, Steve, mm-hmm. I just want to thank you because you're a real sports guy, and now you've laid out the entire season on last Friday's morning briefing,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes my life a lot easier. I don't even have to watch any of the games. Now I want to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles on their upcoming Super Bowl win, and I want to congratulate Barack Obama on his impending reelection. All thanks to Steve Dace's morning brief. I recommend it highly.
Hey, Steve, you know, here in Denver, we have torn loyalties now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Peyton Manning is a neat human being.
Mm-hmm.
And as a quarterback, he's a machine. And he just tore up the Pittsburgh Steelers. But my loyalties, I'm all of a sudden a Jets fan again. I grew up in New Jersey.
Well, I think it really comes down to, I was listening to an interview actually this morning on Dan Patrick's radio program with a sports columnist from your city. And Dan asked him, he said, hey, if you could tell Bronco fans they could only get to the second round in the playoffs with either Peyton Manning or Tim Tebow, what do you think? Which quarterback would they rather have? And I thought his answer was very interesting. He said, listen, if they love the Bible more than they love the NFL, they're going to pick Tim Tebow. If they love the NFL more than they love the Bible, they're going to pick Peyton Manning. And I thought that was a very interesting answer.
That's a perfect answer. That's absolutely true.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. But you know why? It was fascinating to see Mark Sanchez. Doug, I watched an interview in halftime preseason game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They had Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez for 10 minutes talking about how they're working together. Now, they're in two different rooms, but the same guys, they're cutting back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was like they were twins as far as their attitude, their positive attitude, team spirit. I was so thrilled with Mark Sanchez, Steve Dace. It's going to be fun to see how those two guys give a lot of their opposition a run for their money. It's going to be rough. I mean, how many plays? They got two quarterbacks on the field.
That's like having two drummers. It just everybody's not sure what to do.
It's fun, and it's going to continue to be fun, I think.
Well, I really think that one of the things Christians don't do a very good job of is striving for excellence. And I was excited to see Tim Tebow perform well as a Christian rather than saying he performed well because he is a Christian. He's not entitled to the job of starting quarterback because he loves Jesus any more than I'm entitled to my job as a radio host or whatever job Doug said he was trying to get fired from. He's entitled to that. Right. We still have to go out there and do the job and perform.
Yeah.
And if Peyton Manning throughout his career has been about one thing, it has been excellence.
That's true.
And by the way, he's a believer. We have a lot of friends in Indianapolis, and so some of them will send me links when Manning has done local interviews, and he talks about his faith in Jesus Christ. He's not as overt, obviously, as Tim Tebow, but it's so neat to see somebody who's not destroying their life, giving into pride, arrogance, drugs, whatever, just somebody who's living a good life and achieving the most they can achieve.
Yeah. I'm a huge Tebow fan because of his persona on and off the field. But it's unfair to compare all other Christian athletes to Tim because he grew up in such a unique environment. His parents, missionaries out there in the Philippines, he's been bred to be this sort of outspoken ambassador for Jesus when maybe some other people have not been.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And you know what's fun, too? The New York sports writers are already pointing out that Tebow has helped Sanchez improve significantly. For one, just following Tebow's workout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how in the world? And so they said, look, Mark Sanchez steps on the field in practice, and he's more buff than he was the last 2 years.
Well, I think that comes down to one word, competition. And it goes back to something I actually wrote about in townhall.com over the weekend. If you watch the Democratic convention last week, If I could sum it up in one word, that one word would be pagan. And the further left the Democratic Party moves, the harder it will be for conservatives in the Republican Party, because if the Republican Party leadership believes all it has to be is a little less leftist, a little less Marxist, and a little less pagan than the Democrats, it will. And it will try to drag the conservatives to the left with them. And I really think after this election is over, especially if Romney loses, you will see tensions between conservatives and the Republican Party at an high we probably haven't seen since the last major political party realignment in America back in the 1850s.
Well, when the Republican Party was born.
That's right.
And so, yeah, it's hard to out-liberal the Democrats.
Yeah.
Right. And if the Republicans don't believe they have any competition for voters that listen to shows like yours and mine around the country, it will do absolutely as little as possible for those people. And if they try to step out at all, it'll try to destroy them. I mean, just ask Todd Akin, just ask several other people you could mention off the top of your head in the last few years. And this is the reality. These people, it's almost like they would rather lose the election than lose control of the party to people such as us. And I think more people are beginning to wake up to that.
That is absolutely true. There is no question when they throw the social conservatives, i.e. the Christians,
that's us,
under the bus, they would rather distance themselves from marriage and protecting unborn children from being dismembered. They would rather distance themselves from that than beat Obama. They are willing.
At this point, the leadership of the Democratic Party, I will damn them with faint praise with this statement. They're at least now honestly shaking their fist at God. They're at least now openly doing it.
Right.
They're booing God in front of the cameras. They're cheering right. on child sacrifice. The only thing that was missing in Charlotte last week was an altar downtown to Chemosh. Everything else was pretty much there.
That's wow. true.
At
Did
least
you know?
They're being honest about it. Yeah. The Republicans want to borrow our language. They want to give us winks and nods. They want to give us, little helmet stickers. And then when they get put into office, all they do is grow the government. Oh. All they do is not defend life. All they do is not defend marriage.
And in
more
this
and more
cycle,
people are waking up to this.
In this cycle, it's happening before the Republican even went. Normally, during the campaign, they pretend. Mm-hmm. Well, Romney is bragging about the parts of Obamacare that he'll retain, which are horrendously left-wing socialist government programs. But it's not that he's keeping parts of Obamacare. It's RomneyCare that he's keeping. He has an affinity for it because it's his program. He's the godfather. he's a Mormon. He's the bishop, right? He's the bishop, and what is Obama?
Obama's the ward.
He's the ward.
Yeah.
He's the local community.
He's the ward. So this brings
agitator.
Us to the ultimate question, Steve. I see on your website you were not afraid to boldly lay out the football season all the way to the Super Bowl winner.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, are there enough conservative Christians that Romney could offend that we could actually affect the election and he could lose?
I think you're already seeing that happen. And I think they were actually preparing for this. I think they built into their methodology a certain risk to reward ratio based on Mormonism alone. And I think this is one of the reasons why from the very beginning, if you go back to the primary campaign, he was the only Republican candidate that didn't sign either the Susan B. Anthony or the Person of USA pledges.
Right.
And I think that's because he has been building this in from the get-go. He knew there was a certain segment of Christians that wouldn't vote for him strictly on the question of Mormonism, his record notwithstanding, and already began the process of trying to replace those voters with others. And they've had really two goals in this race from the very beginning. Number one is to defeat their own base, and number two is to defeat Obama. And you'll notice that he says, and the party establishment says and does things to their own base they would never, ever say and do to Barack Obama. And I give you as Exhibit A, Todd Akin again.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Imagine if the Republican Party leadership in Washington had been as hard on Barack Obama as they were on Todd Akin a month ago. Government might be a little bit smaller, economy might be a little bit better, but they actually hate the Todd Akins of the world more than they hate Barack Obama
that
and
is
the Democrats.
Absolutely,
so they're going to be harder on them.
That is absolutely true, and I'll just throw this out in passing. That's also true of the Bush family. The Bush family is way more comfortable in retirement being friends with Bill Clinton than being friends with conservative Christian leaders. Way more comfortable with the Clintons. That's why when Bush won, George W. Bush and some of my conservative friends said, oh, good, now they're going to bring up Bill Clinton. You know, they're going to bring him up on charges of treason.
Uh-huh.
I said, you guys, you obviously drink the Kool-Aid. You're taking your own drugs.
Well,
I mean, they're going to be best buds.
Can I ask, Steve, because you're more of a deep political strategist than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the voters that Mitt Romney plans to replace us with?
Well, Romney's plan has been to replace you with angry, white, moderate suburban voters who tend to vote Democrat, but are socially fairly conservative, but tend to vote Democrat on the basis of they hate white corporate Republicans. So the strategy of the establishment has been to replace us with these voters, hoping that they were so angry at Obama's job performance that they would vote Republican, sort of the old Reagan Democrats, if you will. And actually, the strategy of appealing to those people, just purely from a realpolitik numbers perspective, that's really the group that put Obama over the top 4 years ago. That's not a bad strategy. But the problem is who you're trying to target them with. You're trying to target them with the exact kind of Republican they just absolutely can't stand. And if you go back to Obama's convention speech last week, that was his whole speech. Yeah, I may not have done what you had hoped I would do, but Mitt Romney's the exact white corporatist Republican from Wall Street that you all hate the most, and you don't want him taken over. And that's why they brought Bill Clinton out to make the same arguments we heard in 1992 about trickle-down economics. That was the game plan all along. And I think the problem Romney has is his strategy is sound of who to target, but he's the wrong vehicle. You know what's interesting? I've had so many friends of mine around the country and in my own state run for office, real conservatives, And they will tell you the percentage of people who tell them, I'll never vote for you because of where you stand on child killing and homosexuality, compared to the people who say, I will never vote for you because the Republican Party is the party of the rich and all they care about is the corporate fat tax, fat cats. They've told me it's not even close. The Karl Roves et al. Of the world are dead wrong. They've told me the biggest issue problem the GOP has is it's seen by too many voters as the party of the rich. And they really could care. Most people don't even care about issues like abortion and marriage. And those that do, we kind of outnumber the ones that do care about this on the issue. Hence, we've won 31 consecutive elections on the issue marriage.
That's Steve, right. On marriage, what other issue has won 31 times statewide ballot votes 31 times in a row?
Well, Bob, it's not just that it's won. You have to look at where it has won. It is one in the People's Republic of Maine. It is one in the People's Republic of Oregon where euthanasia is legal.
Right.
In California in 2008,
right.
Barack Obama was getting 60% of the popular vote, and marriage won there on the exact same day.
So you have a winning issue that drives people to the polls in sometimes double-digit victory proportion.
That's the social issues
the
that
social
Romney is
issues.
Avoiding or,
marriage,
or turning his back on.
That right. And so... Yes,
and
so
instead
they would
you're
going to
go. Instead, you're going to go trolling through an Occupy camp for replacement votes.
Right. So
I don't see it as
there's only two times in this race, gentlemen, Romney has had momentum. The first was in May around the North Carolina marriage vote. The second was when he is when he put previously 100% pro-life Paul Ryan on his ticket.
Right.
And then what
previously.
Happened immediately after that?
Yeah.
Immediately after the North Carolina marriage vote, he never went to North Carolina. He never said a word about it. The momentum there just absolutely dissipated.
So,
right after what happened with Paul Ryan, he then threw Todd Akin under the bus. And then they came out and said, by the way, we're for child killing in certain circumstances, and undercut his own base.
Including
so
health of the mother.
The Chick-fil-A fiasco. Those are the only two times he's had any momentum have been on the very social issues he's trying to avoid. Isn't that interesting?
Right. So. Steve, we got to take a very quick break. We'd love it if you could stay on for just a few more minutes.
Sure.
But before we go to the break, here's a definition, 2012 definition of a conservative. A conservative today is a Republican who wants to save social programs created by liberals. That's what we've devolved into.
Are you nicer than God? So many Christians today are nicer than God, or at least they try to be. Jesus was often very harsh with his rebukes in the Bible, but many Christians today would say such behavior would not be Christ-like. Bob Enyart teaches from the scriptures that sometimes being nice isn't loving. Nicer Than God is available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com.
All right, we're back already with Doug McBurney in studio and Steve Dace on the line. So, Steve, Glenn Beck today had Paul Ryan on. You know, we got Ron Paul. He had Rand Paul on. Not
oh, Rand Paul.
We got Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Paul Ryan. They're all,
it's
they all confused
after
me.
After a while.
We got the guy who was married to the Star Trek woman. And so, Mel. So,
yep, Mel.
So, Glenn Beck and Rand Paul. We're trying to convince each other that Mitt Romney was actually a conservative,
yeah,
and they could not do it. Glenn Beck asked Rand Paul, well, tell me why it is that Romney is a conservative, seeing he wants to have the government keep kids on their parents' health care till they're 26 years old. Like, that's just what we need. Extend the teenage years.
Exactly.
To your almost
30. Give your child time to acquire the habits that will shorten his life and raise the cost of his health care.
Right. Delay him becoming an adult. And then also we want to force insurance companies to pick up people with pre-existing conditions, which destroys the very business model of shared risk, so that the government has to eventually come in because it will collapse. And Steve, they wanted one another to explain how this is sort of conservative, and neither one would do it. And Rand Paul eventually said, well, don't get me wrong. I'm a Republican, and I'm supporting Romney.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you could have missed that in the conversation.
Wow.
Well, what you're seeing here, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is we're finally seeing people willing to ask some really honest questions. I think we've seen Romney held to a standard even during a campaign that George W. Bush was never held to once he was in office. I think that's good. I think conversations like the one you're describing wouldn't have even taken place when Bush was in office, because we all would have been in total groupie, slappy cheerleader mode.
Right.
So I think it's good that people are finally starting to be honest. That's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is what we're out to replace this with. You know, Beck wants to replace what we're, you know, wants to replace the Christian foundation the country was founded and built upon with some sort of, you know, generic monotheistic, you know, port and potable mixture with Ayn Randianism that is some kind of libertarian fantasy that only exists in the deep, dark recesses of academia's mind. And then there, you know, so everybody wants to look for the answers, except at the one place where the answers can be found. And I think what we're going to continue to see for as long as we do that as a civilization, you know, I really think we're in a process of watching God take our idols and strip them bare naked right in front of us.
Mm.
And I think you're going to see more of this kind of behavior and more of this kind of phenomenon until we're willing to, you know, look in the place that is so obvious it's been right in front of our face the entire time.
Well, that is very encouraging, because things are rough. You know, people come to me constantly and say, Bob, how could you be upbeat and encouraged on the air? Everything is so bleak and so terrible. And I tell them, my trust is in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. I've read the last chapter of the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the victory is assured. Eventually, the child killers will lose. But hopefully, the victory for the innocent comes sooner rather than later. Ultimately, it's personhood that is the dagger in the heart of liberalism. Because we could fight for lower taxes, which we have for half a century.
Fewer regulations,
term limits.
Reduce the size and scope of the government.
A lot of it is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Because when we do elect Republicans and put them in office because they're going to lower taxes, they increase spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even more irresponsible to increase spending to go further into debt than it is to not lower taxes.
Mm.
It's even worse. But personhood, when we ended slavery, then that forced something right and good to take place in our nation.
Yeah.
It forced it. And when we
Bob,
stopped,
if you look at the last three major political realignments in America, they all have something in common. The 1850s, the issue of slavery. In the 1960s, JFK reaching out to Martin Luther King Jr. and blacks became Democrats for the first time.
Mm.
In the 1970s, Roe versus Wade, and you had Catholics mobilized for Republicans for the first time. Evangelicals getting active in politics.
With Ronald Reagan's landslides.
Yes, for the first time. And what do all those three things have in common? A great moral crisis at the center of them. And I think what we're seeing next is personhood, I think, is sort of the lead battalion in this next overall overarching conversation about how we're collapsing from within as a culture. And what personhood does is it really removes all the rest of the phony left arguments, all the rest of the phony pro-choice with exceptions, because I don't think there's any such thing as pro-life with exception arguments.
Wow.
And it really comes down to this question. Is that a human life, and who ultimately are we accountable to?
Mm.
And it cuts through the clutter, and it begs those two questions that we really don't want to answer. And if we start answering them with things like personhood, then we're going to have to answer them with everything else too, like some of the economic issues you just described, like the issue of marriage, for example, like the rule of law, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of see personhood as sort of the Rosetta Stone to having the overall conversation with the country that we really want to have. And it does it by driving what is the most pressing moral cause of our age, and that is the slaughter of at least 4,000 babies every single day.
Mm. Wow. Stripping the idols bare.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to hide from that kind of light. That personhood shines on what we've all been doing over the past few
decades. So the banquet is coming up Friday night, and it's $100 a plate. The goal of this banquet is to equip Colorado Right to Life to continue the fight. Steve, here in our state, we have a godless pro-abortion government bureaucracy. 2 years ago, they threw out tens of thousands of signatures, but we had more time to replace them.
Yeah.
This time, with a lawsuit by Planned Parenthood and the ACLU, we did not have more time, so we have to go to court to fight for every signature to get on the ballot. And so once again, they've thrown out tens of thousands of signatures. We're asking people to call Colorado Right to Life, from their computer. They can help us do the work, search the voter registration database to rescue each signature one at a time. And that phone number, 303-753-9394. We need people to help us find these signatures. You pull it up on your screen. You could see the way the guy signed. And you're thinking, boy, this guy has lousy handwriting. And then you search. Right, Doug?
I've had a couple that I recognized. I took this signature.
And then you search for their address, for their last name, and you find them, and then you put found. You put found in the database.
Yeah, it's
and
it's,
so
it's,
we need that. But, Steve, you're going to be here for Friday night for the banquet. So not only are we fighting to undo what this pro-abortion Secretary of State and government bureaucracy has done, but then Friday night at the banquet, we need to get together to re-equip and rearm the troops here in Colorado. And thank you for making the time to come out to talk to us.
Well, I'm honored that you guys would ask me. It's a cause that, and I'll express this on Friday night, that both morally, philosophically, theologically, and very personally, I'm very driven by. And, you know, as I heard you guys talk about how they've tried to mess with you administratively there in your state, I really think this ties back into what we were talking about with Romney as a nominee. Yours is a state he must win in this election. Millions of dollars. I think last month alone, Obama spent $9 million on TV ads in Colorado. And you would think the Republican nominee and his campaign would do everything they could to get an issue like yours on the ballot, thinking not too many people that are going to get out to vote for person that are probably going to vote for Barack Obama.
Yeah, hello.
There's a better chance they would vote for me. And therefore, I obviously would have a symbiotic relationship of wanting to get your cause on the ballot and get that out there to help me get out the vote. The fact that the pro-life plank is the number one plank in most Republican platforms around the country, and even though they may not define it as personhood, the way it's defined is as personhood. Mm. The fact that you don't have a symbiotic relationship there between our cause and the Republican nominee, I just think tells you all you need to know, and it's one of the major reasons why I believe he will lose on November the 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve Dace, thank you for joining us. It is an honor to have you on this
Amen.
Program. God bless you, Steve. See you Friday.
All right.
See you
guys.
Friday,
Take
Steve.
Care.
Okay, so register online, ColoradoRightToLife.org. Now, if you forget and you go to .com, you won't be punished.
We'll redirect you.
You'll still get
that. .org.
Yeah, ColoradoRightToLife.org.
It's Friday night. Go to ColoradoRightToLife.org and register now.
And you could call, if you remember the number, 303-753-9394. Now, is that their number or is that my bookkeeper's number?
I think that's their number. Thank you, Bob. God bless everybody out there. Thanks for listening.
9-3-9-4. God bless you.
It's telethon time. It's September. It's the Bob Enyart Live annual telethon. Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.